pianists trying to make it in the classical music world typically have to break through by means of the competition circuit, like the Van Cliburn International Piano Competition, which comes every 4 years. But Simona Dinnerstein decided to skip that route. She took a more DIY approach. Last year, at age 33, she scraped together the cash to record her own CD. The piece she chose to play was Bach's Goldberg Variations. That's aiming pretty high, since it's one of the most famous piano works ever, with some iconic recordings by the incredibly famous Glenn Gould. But Simona Dinnerstein's record was picked up by a major label, and it went on to reach number one on the classical charts. Simona, welcome to Studio 360.
Thanks for having me.
Talk to me about the sort of strategic decision to say, okay, I'm going to scrape together this money to record this CD, and it's going to be the Goldberg Variations. Did you have a notion of how the classical world would receive this?
Well, I decided to record it because I had finally performed it to the point where I felt I really had something that I was saying, that it had gelled into something. And I remember those 3 days of recording were just, they were like on another plane. I mean, I felt I had never played like that before. It felt like all of these things that I'd thought about and that I'd worked at in my playing came together in the studio. And it was probably the combination of...
It's like a movie.
It was like a movie. I mean, it was really kind of, it was really almost mystical. And I didn't think really about where it was going to go, but I felt like this is how I should play.
How great that you not only had that kind of mystical, I've got it experience, but that the marketplace has validated your sense.
It's really, I mean, I think that I'm unbelievably lucky. I think that most people just never have this kind of, this never happens. I mean, I felt when it finished and it was edited and we put it all together, and I just think it's amazing that has, you know, people have responded to that.
Which of the 30 variations are you going to play for us today?
I was thinking of playing variation 28. Which is one of my favorites.
How come?
You know, you've gone through this whole journey, and then the sound of this one, it's almost like the stars coming out. It's very twinkly, and it has a beautiful kind of songfulness to it that is really incredible at that moment, having played all the other 27 variations before it.
Well, let's listen to number 28 of Bach's Goldberg Variations, performed here in our studio by Simona Dinnerstein.
Thank you.
That was Simona Dinnerstein playing number 28 of Bach's Goldberg Variations. Tell me, Glenn Gould's performances, for instance, was that a burden of the past as you played? Like, oh, I have to do it this way or that way, unlike Gould?
Well, I had to stop listening to all of that. I had to, because I find it very easy to be influenced by what I hear. I mean, I grew up being taught to be influenced by what I heard. You know, that's how teachers teach, is they play it and then you copy them. And with Gould, that really kept me away from playing this piece, and from Bach in general in many ways, because I was so struck by the way he played, but it was so clearly his own style that could not be imitated. And so I had to kind of stop listening to it and almost try to forget it so that I could hear the music apart from what had happened. And I didn't think, well, he did it this way, so I should do it this way. It was literally, forget that you ever heard Glenn Gould, forget you ever heard Rosalind Turek, and let's see what the music says. Now, of course, it's all in me. It's, you know, in my bones, having heard all of this music and lots of music. I mean, you know, even jazz and whatever, it's all there. But it's how you then respond to those notes as you're playing, and to have a sort of fresh approach to it, to not feel like you're carrying the baggage of all those other performers.
Speaking of jazz versions, there is the Jacques Lussier's trio version of Goldberg Variations. So let's listen to their version of number 28, which you just played for us.
One of the things that strikes me about this recording is how the three of them, you know, the percussion, the piano, and the bass, are listening to each other and responding to the sonorities of this music. And I hear those sonorities that they're doing when I'm playing it straight on the piano. I think that all of those sounds are kind of in the music. They're almost like in the overtones, or I don't know, there's something. It makes a lot of sense to me how they do it. Yeah.
Let's also listen to a selection of the variations arranged by Uri Kane. This is Uri Kane's Hallelujah Variation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it's fabulous that he, you know, found it as a sort of a jumping off point for all these different things. To me, what he was doing was saying this music could go through every culture and genre and inspire a reaction.
We've talked about Glenn Gould's version that came out more than a half century ago. What was so extraordinary about that? Why was that for so many years the one that we were supposed to know and listen to?
I think that playing that he did in 1955 on that recording was so new and startling and so different than the kind of romanticism that people were used to. I'm not an authority on 1955, but I'm just thinking that, you know, you're starting to get into an era where you're starting to be aware of machines, of technology, and I think that there's a real connection between his playing and technology. God, people are going to kill me, but it feels a little cold to me sometimes. Like, sometimes I feel like...
Like a machine, I guess.
Personally, I absolutely love the later one that he did. I mean, the 1955 is great, but 81...
And what makes you like that better?
I feel like it is more meditative. And it's more expansive, and there's an incredible relationship between the variations. There's a sense of the whole piece. It's uncanny that he then, you know, died so shortly afterwards. I just feel like that there's a kind of meaning to that recording that's very different.
As one looks at the classical music audience in my lifetime, certainly in your adult lifetime, it seems to be shrinking. Do you feel that you have some special obligation to excite audiences that haven't found classical music?
You know, it's alarming that there is such a little amount of interest in classical music, but I think that it's our role as musicians to try to get out there and, you know, expose other populations to this music. Kids, they don't have to know the history of Bach in order to like listening to the Goldberg Variations. And I think that that's something that keeps a lot of people away from classical music. They feel like they need to have some kind of historical knowledge in order to like it. I know nothing about jazz, really, but I love listening to it. And I just, you know, it means something to me when I listen to it that's very personal.
Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Simona Dinnerstein has 3 concerts coming up in New York. You can find out more and hear another piece that she played live for us here today in Studio 360 at studio360.org. Coming up, today's Heart of Rock and Roll is in Stockholm.
What's the secret to Swedish pop?
I think fresh air, fresh water. No, I'm not sure. Good jeans. And ABBA.
The Swedish invasion continues. That's ahead in Studio 360 from PRI, Public Radio International. Stay with us.